welcome to Stories That Matter, the Hawkwood podcast.
Welcome to Stories That Matter, Hawkwood's podcast series, which invites changemakers, thinkers, artists and innovators to discuss the stories that have influenced them, their visions for the future and the actions they are taking to change the world. My name is Yolande Monet and I'm the programme curator for Hawkwood. Today I am with Ren Garside and Mark Rogers, two students on the MA Forged Metal Arts course at Hereford College of Arts. Ren and Mark have been on a residency at Hawkwood as part of Earth, Fire, Iron, a commemoration of the career of Stroud artist blacksmith Alan Evans, reflecting on his background as part of the White Way Colony, a radical Tolstoyan community near Stroud set up in 1898, and the impact of the Cotswolds arts and crafts traditions. Ren creates sculptural vessels inspired by an allegiance with nature, which is a source of solace and guidance. Through playful abstraction of seed forms, observations of their resilience and dispersal methods, Ren's work explores parallels with human resilience, encouraging nature connectivity, personal reflection, and the idea that everyone can find their own seed of hope. Mark's work celebrates the role of playfulness through participatory sculptures. His pieces invite the audience to co-create, transforming practical activity into shared journeys of creation and dialogue. These works foster meaningful connections that transcend art, shaping conversations that bridge creativity and collaboration. Hi, Ren. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hello.
So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your individual journeys into discovering blacksmithing.
Sure. Yeah, so I took a slightly alternative route towards blacksmithing. Initially, I was actually, ironically, very adamant that I wasn't going to go down a creative path in school, even though I sort of engaged with creativity. I was pretty academic and I ended up going to UE to do chronology and psychology. And then during sort of towards the end of COVID, I ended up doing a two-day taster course in blacksmithing and then asked if that could then be a three-day taster course. And then when I could come back again, that was with a lady called Spike Blackhurst as well, who's based in Midwest Wales. And yeah, I was just hooked. And afterwards, I sort of started doing research into where I could sort of continue my journey. And I found out that Hereford provided undergraduate courses in blacksmithing and just decided to, yeah, take the deep dive.
Great. Great. And Mark, a little bit about your journey to blacksmithing.
Sure. I live in Scotland and I initially came to blacksmithing through the idea of being a farrier. And I did my first course in Edinburgh. It was a 12-week City and Guilds course. And my examiner suggested that I give blacksmithing a go and that I could always continue on the farriery path. So I went and did a course in Preston, in sort of Lancaster area, and did that for a year. And I was then encouraged to continue blacksmithing and look at Hereford and their undergraduate programme. So I went there for an open day and fell in love with the facility and the idea in the space. And yeah, continued on to do that and now into the Masters.
Fantastic. And I was wondering if you could as well say, like, talk a little bit about some of the materials that you use in your own personal work, and including, like, methods of making and what it is about them that you enjoy using or how you enjoy creating through that method.
Yeah, so I think my approach to blacksmithing would be considered quite a modern approach. I sort of, outside of blacksmithing, also would consider myself a metalsmith as well. So not only do I work with steel, but I also enjoy working with copper and sometimes also using brass as well, but not so frequently. In my practice, using the forging facilities, I'm mainly hand forge, but I also end up using the power hammer. In my third year, I ended up using a hand plasma to sort of create components, sort of drawing inspiration from my previous sort of engagement with creativity, using my drawing skill as something to build into my practice. Yeah, I feel like the hand plasma really lends to that. It's kind of just like drawing with a laser, essentially. But also, I really enjoy welding as well as part of my practice, and soldering, sort of drawing from my sort of basis in small metal skills previously. Yeah, I find that those sort of things translate.
Brilliant. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm a massive metal nerd, to be honest with you. I love all kinds of metal. So I've worked with bronze, brass. I've done some work with copper. I predominantly use steel, but I also use specialty steels in a process called pattern welding. This is to make sort of two different types of steel blended together that you then etch and it forms a pattern. Mm. It's quite often seen in chef's knives and things like that, but I use it for more sculptural purposes. For me, I think that there's a huge amount as artists we can explore with metals, because we don't need to concern ourselves necessarily with structural integrity or sort of things like that. So there's a lot of metallic elements that you can play with, and for me that's really important, and I want to encourage other people to get used to those materials and explore those materials and play with them.
It's really interesting as we're like sat in the studio now and seeing like the diversity of work created with similar materials and the fluidity of some that perhaps people wouldn't normally associate with work that's been created in this way, and the like delicacy of the forms, and like that I think comes across in your work, as particularly Ren, with the sort of curves that you managed to create and things like that.
Yeah, so I think one of the really special things about this current exhibition that we've got on is, like you say, both through current MA students' work, but also the 150mm challenge is a really good example of just the capability that steel has. It sort of has this association through sort of historical context that it's used sort of for industrial practices, whether that's sort of stability in building processes, but actually... I think a quote that both me and Mark have been using pretty consistently this week comes from Pete Matilla, and he describes steel as being clay wetted by fire. Mm. And it's a really great way of sort of capturing the level of movement that you can achieve with steel. It doesn't need to have these sort of industrial forms, which are in their own right really beautiful, and you can come up with some amazing things. But yeah, it has this flexibility and this capability to move and support itself in a way that maybe you can't with other materials.
Yeah, that's such a brilliant quote. Yeah.
I think it's true that the materiality of steel is often overlooked, because when people see steel breaking, it's usually quite a sheared experience. But if you look at it, again, using clay as an analogy, if you have a ceramic pot and you drop it, it shatters. But if it's in its clay before it's been fired, it's very malleable. And that's very true of steel when you heat it. It really is a soft material once you add a bit of heat to it. And many metallic elements are similar. Bronze, for instance, and brass are both so soft when they're heated that they can actually bend under their own weight. They can also be a little bit awkward to work with sometimes. But it's that kind of softness and delicateness that people don't often get to experience when they're looking at a structure, because it's processed and hardened to fulfill that role of being structural.
And I guess that's like the challenge you get to bring with it being forged metal arts, is actually you get to show all the capabilities of that material.
How much you can sort of push the material as well is a very core thing to what we explore, is what that material can do. And we do that through pushing it to its limits.
It's in craft in general, it's sort of referred to as tacit knowledge, sort of the level of understanding you gain from materiality as you work with any material, just from working with it and engaging with it constantly. It sort of reveals its secrets to you.
And the point that you're saying about tacit knowledge kind of like brings me on to the next question, which is about what does this sort of practice bring to your life through working in this way? Like what benefits do you see, or challenges as well?
I think that for me, I find it as something very grounding. It engages, forging or craft in general engages you in multi-senses, you know, so you're not just seeing what you're doing, but you're hearing the sound of the hammer and against the metal and the heat from the fire and the feeling of the steel being quite warm in the fire and the smell of the coke and the sort of the fuel as it's burning. It's a whole sensory experience, and there's a big overlap between mind and body being, you know, in conjunction with one another. And so, you know, the endorphins that are released when you're working at the forge and working hard and doing stuff is very enjoyable. And I think that for me personally, it is that fulfillment of being able to do a thing, of exerting myself and finished with something that I can hold up and say, I made this and I'm proud of this.
Yeah, and it's really tangible and exists in the world and has changed form, which is like an incredible experience.
And that's one of the best things about steel, is it's always in a state of becoming. So steel, with being such a malleable material, you can constantly change it. It doesn't have to stay as it is. It's only currently in that form. You can heat it up and move it again and reform it. So it's much like us. We can sort of change as we go.
Yeah, nice. That's a really good analogy. Yeah.
Yeah, so the way that I sort of describe the impact that steel has on my life, it sort of aligns with my practice, which I'll get into later, but it's that building of resilience. I mean, steel itself is such a resilient material. It can really be pushed quite a bit before it breaks. But I found that steel in itself and working with it has helped foster that resilience in my own life. It's been a learning curve, and it's been quite a slow learning curve for me, in all honesty. So it has helped me build resilience, because it captures my brain in a way that other materials don't. I think because I find it so challenging, it holds that attention in a way that maybe other things haven't for me previously, because I do feel like I'm constantly engaging my body and mind, and you do have to sort of be on the ball, and in between heats you're thinking about your next step. And yeah, for me that's a great experience.
Yeah, it engages you in sort of that idea of flow state, which is a sort of theory put forward by a psychologist called Mihaly, and I'm not going to attempt his last name, it's quite impressive, but basically it sort of says when the challenge and the skill are in line with one another, you enter this flow state, that idea that time sort of melts away and you're in the zone. That's what that state is. And I think with blacksmithing, because you're so present in the moment of what you're doing and the challenges of the fire and the forge and everything, and the skill that you're using to work the material, you just kind of end up in this flow state, innately working. It's almost steel is almost a contradictory material. We're saying how soft it is and how resilient it is, but that's what's so fascinating about it.
Yeah,
it's so strong and so reliable and sturdy, but yet it can become so malleable and so soft and so workable, that it's just such a fascinating material to mess around with and to play with.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about like perceptions of resilience as well. It's like actually and also related to design work, it's like you have to be able to iterate in order to come up with a good result, a resilient result, or something that'll kind of stand the test of time, really. And that's so earlier this week when we were discussing the work of the other students at Hereford, and I was just wondering if it was so inspirational the way you spoke about like your peers' work, and I was wondering if you could describe what it's like on your MA course, because it sounds so inspirational, and that sort of you're all working together in the workshop and the discussions that you have. If you could say a little bit about that, I think that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, we're both pretty early on in the MA course, but already we've been so fortunate in the experiences that it's lended to us. Both me and Mark, I mean, obviously Hawkwood has been part of our MA experience, but previously also in Stroud, we had the opportunity to work with the Ruskin Mill students, showing them Rapuse as a perform sort of, they already have a forge there, so it's showing them a different way of engaging with both steel, and we also taught them copper. But in terms of the actual workspace itself, you know, we're all in one studio, we're constantly getting the opportunity to bounce ideas off each other, And because we all have such different takes, no one's sort of left in a state of stagnancy. We're all moving and growing together. I think one of the things that I've talked a lot about this week is how that difference between each student can make a really positive impact is. So I share a forge with Cameron Pearson, and the way that he approaches blacksmithing is incredibly technical. The level of precision that he applies to his work is beautiful, whereas I tend to lean towards more organic forms. But it's just nice that we can coexist and support each other in that space, and there isn't this divide created by that, but we get to sort of celebrate each other. He helped me lead my workshop at Ruskin, and being able to see how we could both facilitate different students' learning was just a really beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. I think also as well, we get to do our talk sessions on a Thursday with the contemporary craft MA students as well, which continues to add different perspectives, and we get to bounce different ideas of people working with other materials as well, mm-hmm. which is equally as important.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that being in that kind of environment with other creatives and everyone's pushing themselves not just to create art but also to dig a bit deeper into themselves and find out what really matters to them and what it is that they want to say and what they want to do innately spurs you on to do the same. Mm. And that creates a really fun environment to be with. And yeah, again, to Ren's point of the different ideas, it's just something that feels so fantastic because you can approach an idea from your angle and talk to someone and they'll say, have you considered this or that? Mm. And it gives you a really new perspective to look at it. And sometimes you're going to say, I don't like that, I don't want to do that. But you can still have that conversation, which is so useful. Quite often if you're working by yourself or you're in your own shop, you've only got, you know, me, myself and I, effectively, mm. Which can feel quite daunting. And so it's also quite nice that when we have sort of hand-ins or we have things that we're all sort of working through it together as well. Mm-hmm. To Ren's point, the difference, I've worked with Bradley Wills for, well, crikey, 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And he's fascinated by mushrooms, fungal form, the mycorrhizal network, mm-hmm. and things like that. And it's so fascinating to talk to him, and he's really interested in presenting the delicateness in steel. So he does really fine, gentle tapers, and it's always something that I look at and I go, wow, okay, cool, I hadn't thought of it like that, I hadn't mm-hmm. considered that. And I'll chat with him about designs and things like that as well, which is really really a lucky experience to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say enough about everyone on the MA, to be honest with you. They're all really fantastic and all come from very different ideological places with art, which is wonderful.
I think going back to what Mark was saying as well about how sometimes you can have a conversation with someone and think, well, actually no, it's actually as good as it is to bounce ideas off and like have a positive result, that when you disagree with someone, that's also amazing because it helps you sort of build your own autonomy in your craft and understand mm. what you want for yourself.
Sometimes it's the longer way to go around it when you're learning what you don't want, but ultimately you'll still eventually get to the thing that you do want. Even if it's just crossing things out.
Exactly. And you're all like, that's the other thing about working in a shared studio space, the work you're creating, you want to be seen by an audience. So actually mm. to be able to have someone to glance over and go, yes, I can get that concept from that shape or what you've done there, and then actually to not have to do so much explanation but to get the sense that someone can see it and understand it, it must be really helpful.
Totally. And to be fair, I don't know why I haven't brought it up previously, but it's not even just the MA cohort as well, like we get to bounce that off the undergraduate students as well. Like, it is genuinely such a close-knit community throughout all the year groups, and that's something that we try and foster.
We have regular barbecues every term, mm. and you know, it's not so much about I'm an MA, you're an undergrad, or you're a first year. It's just chatting. And to the point of that kind of creative environment, my background being a bit more blacksmith heavy,
mm-hmm.
I didn't took me a while to figure out the art side of things, rather than, you know, I kind of was pretty confident in my ability to swing a hammer when I kind of came, but I was not very confident in the art aspect, and it took me a while to learn that. And then people who weren't necessarily coming with a lot of forge experience but had come from an art background were doing stuff that I thought was amazing because they didn't have these preconceived notions of what the material could do, so they were doing these things and I was like, wow, what is it? I don't. And yeah, it was a really fun experience to learn from and see how they were interacting with this stuff that I kind of had taken for granted at this point.
Definitely, because I was the complete opposite. I came on the course with an art background, not a blacksmithing background, and you know, there's still things that I can oftentimes learn from first and second years who came on the course with a far more advanced experience of blacksmithing than I even have now. So yeah, that sort of year group thing isn't necessarily reflected in skill, but just allows for more people to communicate with, share ideas.
Yeah, it really feels like the way in which it's set up, it's like primarily artists and students. It's also what you are, but you're given that freedom to explore those themes and creativity.
Yeah.
All individual artists that tend to use forged metal as our medium, which is what makes it quite fun.
Yeah. And so we are sat in your studio for this week, and around we've got some fantastic examples of other work, and your sort of stations where you've got images and post-its with lots of really interesting words on, and Ren's got some beautiful examples of seed heads that she's been foraging, and books and images of different types of seed heads. And I was wondering if you could, for our listeners, just try and describe a piece of your work in this room that you've created.
Sure, I'll swing first. So I've got a piece in this room which was my final project for my third year. It's called Conversing. It's based on the idea of inviting others to join me in making a sculpture that highlights how much fun I have had being creative and playing with steel over the time in my undergraduate. To highlight that, I made it sort of Echo, Lego and Meccano, sort of modular components that can be bolted together in various different compositions to create a kind of abstract sculpture. There are sort of connector rods, and there are also like sort of cube aspects. The cube aspects are based on the molecular structure that steel takes as a body-centered cubic lattice, which kind of a unique shape, and it's sort of a form that steel goes through as it's heated up. It hits certain points and changes its atomic structure, and yeah, I really wanted to ground there's a quote that a lot of my work base around, which is, what difference does it make if a discussion is grounded in practical activity? And the discussion I wanted to have was around creativity and metal and steel specifically, and so the practical activity is to make a sculpture out of steel pieces. And that's kind of, I feel like I achieved that in my final project, and it's something that I still enjoy playing with, and other people enjoy playing with as well, which is great. I will say, after putting it together and taking it apart 50,000-60,000 times, I am willing to let other people do a lot of the constructing nowadays, but I still enjoy it, and I enjoy the conversations that come out of it. You know, people see different things, and that's part of that creative dialogue. It's not just what I put out, it's, so I based it on, you know, molecular and atomic structures, but people see bones and nodes of different aspects. They sort of see, like, thankfully people do see Lego bricks in it, which I'm like, whew, okay, that worked. But so I get a lot of people talking about bone structure with the piece, which I think is really fascinating, because it gives a kind of humanity to the piece. It gives it like a living aspect, which I had never considered, which is really cool. That's a bit about my work.
Brilliant, thank you. And Ren, would you describe a piece of your work that you have here?
Yeah, so currently I have a sculptural vessel exhibiting in the space. The one that I have exhibiting here specifically is a Klapperbossy seed, or inspired by a Klapperbossy seed, which is part of the Acanthi family. So when I was in my undergraduate, I was looking at seed dispersal, and that sort of came from quite a big moment of art block in my third year. And one of the ways that I sort of work through that is I try and get out into nature and sort of think through walking. I find that really helpful. And a lot of the things I was obviously noticing, because it was this time last year, were seeds, as everything is sort of goes in seed this time of year. And that, yeah, sparked this journey into researching seeds, sort of looking initially at their sort of like latent energy and how if like the seed has like this sort of potential to grow into something big from something small, it's like the sort of created a sense of hope for me while I was feeling quite stuck. But yeah, sorry, going back to the specific sculpture, the Klapperbossy seed is, it's quite incredible. It starts off with all these really sort of like tight interlocked layers that when they come into contact with moisture then unfurl outwards, and that's what's then attached to animals, and that's sort of how it disperses. It's one of the pieces that I sort of started taking that drawing to metal approach to. So it is primarily plasma cut. I dished a lot of the components by heating them in a gas forge, and then I used a fly press to slowly dish all the forms. The central component started off as just a circular disc, and then I plasma cut sections out to sort of create this more organic evenness to the edges. And then to create more height, I sort of started, adding different components with plasma cut aspects in. And then the two outer layers that surround that central component are created using plasma cutter and then soldered onto the piece, which was quite an experience trying to solder it in the forge, because in the spot where I was trying to do the silver soldering, my spot in the forge is right next to one of the power hammers. So as I was trying to silver solder the different layers, the vibration from the power hammer was actually meaning that the silver solder was slowly slipping as I was trying to get it to melt between. But it's all part of the fun and game of sort of working in a shared workshop, isn't it? It was actually kind of way more amusing than silver soldering normally in Queen's workshop, which is where I would normally workshop in the small metals department.
Yeah, beautiful, thank you. And so it'd be great to hear a little bit about how this week has been as being artists in residence, having an open studio for people to come and look, and also Ren and Mark have a forge outside, so I think people have been particularly captured, and I know we've certainly, when we've heard you hammering, have come out quite promptly to go and have a little look. So it'd be great to hear a little bit about how this week has been for you, and any interesting conversations you've had.
I mean, I've loved this week. It's been absolutely amazing, to be honest with you. I couldn't have asked for more, because it's such a beautiful environment and it's so calming to be around this sort of, around nature and around an area that feels like you have space to breathe and space to slow down in a very sort of busy sort of world. And it's really given the space to reflect and to fully understand more about my practice and who I am as an artist and what it is that I want to do and where I want to go next. So that's been amazing. So I've been spending a lot of my time researching, looking at sort of various academic texts and books, psychology, philosophy, looking at academics within craft as well, to help underpin why it is I do what I do and why I continue to do it, you know, and instead of moving away and doing something else. So it's been a wonderful time for me to slow down and reflect and to think more than anything.
Yeah. And for you,
yeah, Anna? So I think similarly to Mark, we're at the beginning of our MA and we're only really in the research stage of our sort of process, so it's been nice to have the opportunity to slow down a little bit and be in an environment where I can go for a walk in the woods in the morning and sort of really ground myself in nature, because it's obviously such a big part of my practice, it's what informs it, so getting into that attunement with it and then being able to forge and then being able to jump from forging to painting as well. I've been doing a lot of painting in the space, taking inspiration from the landscape but also some of the seeds that I've brought with me this week, and then also, yeah, I think sort of sharing our joy with people. I think that's something that most people have sort of communicated back to us, is that we love metal. Yeah. I think it really reads when we talk to people how passionate we are about it. I mean, I'm normally actually quite an introvert in general, but when it comes to metal, that's when I start to sort of come out of my shell, and that's where I feel most comfortable talking. So getting to talk to the public, whether or not they're just interested in our space, but also having young people come who have been interested in perhaps doing taste of day courses elsewhere, being able to sort of facilitate them finding out how they take their steps towards blacksmithing has been always a really lovely experience, because it's like, oh, nice, it's, yeah, even if they don't go for it, it's just nice knowing that I've been able to sort of help them in that sort of way. And then, yeah, also for me, working on the charcoal forge that we have with us this week has been really nice. We're slowly sort of moving towards perhaps using a coke charcoal blend at uni, but currently we do primarily use coke as well as the gas forge. So familiarising myself with that, is that something that I'll probably be using outside the MA as my main sort of forge setup.
Yeah, being able to talk with members of the public has been really, really fun. As I mean, it, for my work specifically, when I'm trying to interact with people, it's kind of been really useful to just sort of be sat near my piece and working on sort of my next pieces, and to just sort of discuss these things and see what people think and what they see and what they enjoy. And yeah, like Brent was saying, yeah, I think we are just massive metal nerds, effectively. Yeah. I love it to bits, and I wouldn't want to be any other way. But it's very nice to be able to go from the academic reading, writing, to the forge, which is just outside, you know, straight into testing these ideas, testing some possibilities that we could make, coming back in, having a chat with people about your work, which you can then go down and sit and write and reflect on what you've just sort of made and what you've just talked about with people, to then sort of keep that cycle going. I think it's been amazing.
Oh, yeah. So glad to hear that. And I think, yeah, that thing you were saying about being able to, particularly your work, Mark, and trying to encourage people to playfully engage with something, like actually having someone be near it and go, it's okay. It's okay to do that. And I think that's often a thing that isn't part of that, like, sculptural world very often. So it does require, like, a bit of permission, not permission giving, but kind of encouragement.
It's funny you mentioned that. It's something I did struggle with actually at my degree show. I spent a lot of time working on the composition of the piece, of deliberately setting it down lower, sort of at table height, rather than slightly higher at sort of waist height for like a plinth or something like that. And I made sure that I had chairs around my piece. It was all to try and break the stigma that is around a gallery, or quite often that people, you know, walk around and look and don't necessarily touch. So that was a huge aspect of kind of learning and talking with people. It's like, you know, how do you feel comfortable to play with this thing?
Yeah.
How do you want to interact with this thing?
Yeah, nice. And the other point about like being able to be outside and show people how metal is worked with, as metal is a substance that like we encounter every single day, but probably don't have much knowledge of how it comes to be in that form, or what it takes to extract it, or how it could be reused or even like reimagined. I think is a great opportunity to go to people, here's your everyday substance.
Yeah.
that you don't often consider because it's often in cutlery or things that we just kind of take for granted.
Yeah, I actually today I got a kid to go, wow. So I felt pretty happy with that. Basically, I was sort of trying to explain how soft steel is, because people, you know, it, again, outside of a making sense or working with the steel in its hot form, generally people have a very solidified idea of what steel is. It's a strong, hard material that holds up buildings, and the Eiffel Tower is made of steel, and it's really structural. And so when I got it hot and I literally just pressed with my hammer, I didn't hit it, I just pressed my hammer against one end and it just bent because it is that soft. You don't need to put a huge amount of force into it. For anyone wondering, it was only about 10 millimetres square. So it wasn't really thick bar. I didn't get a super, super big thick bar and then sort of bend it. But, it, you know, it's just the fact that force is not necessary when it's that, yeah, that kind of hot.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was, and as I was doing it, the kid gave it a little wow.
Yeah,
felt quite happy with that. So that was good fun. I like to think that there's going to be a sudden influx of blacksmiths.
I hope so as things progress.
Sorry, yeah, I think one of the things that is also lovely about getting to share and craft through these sort of events as well is when people get to see both of us as well, is that realization of there's often this common thought that maybe all blacksmiths are big, burly men, and that is in fact not the case. I think even some of the guys on the course sort of experience that reaction as well, that, yeah, you don't need to be this really strong individual to be able to forge. It's not as physically intensive as you might think. It is definitely still physically intensive, but
it's technique. There's a lot of technique involved.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good point about the kind of like accessibility of it as a material to work with.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, for me, so I'm hypermobile, so one of the things that I sort of experience can be fatigue. I sort of go into state fatigue quite quickly in comparison to maybe other people, but that's why I lean on things like plasma cutting to sort of bulk out my forged components. Like, there are ways around any craft really that you can sort of learn to work with your strengths. We sort of talk about it as you have all these things in your toolbox, and it's how to take those things in your toolbox and then apply them and sort of build a craft around you.
Yeah. That's something that they teach very well at HCA specifically. On our course, they teach us so many different things. They call it an and. Mm-hmm. So you're taught drawing and forging and digital design and maquetting, so making small models, and how plastic moves and how wood works and how small metals work. So it's building up this bank of knowledge that you have that you can then select what you need to work in that aspect, and it's really good and really helpful. And you'll find the things that you work particularly well with and your process for design, which is really good. So I, despite being an artist, I am not the world's best or even slightly good drawer or painter, but I'm pretty good at fusion. I'm pretty good at 3D modeling in a digital setting, and once I kind of have this image or idea, I can then make a maquette model of it, a small, you know, whether that's out of clay or foam board or wood or whatever it is. Once I can then bring it into the physical world, I'm pretty confident I can make that in the forge. That's my design process. I think that's important that you realize there's many different ways to get to the final outcome.
Incredible. And then that just kind of leads me on to what might be our last question, which is, what's next for you, and what are your hopes for the future, and I guess in relation to the practice that you're doing at the moment?
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm really interested in doing going forward is teaching. I think what's become a really big part of quite a lot of different craft practices is teaching. It can be quite difficult for different craft practitioners to take on apprentices sometimes in that context of running a forge as a business. But I really want to be able to share the craft with other people, so that will probably end up being the core foundation of my practice. But then using that spare time then to still continue to build my own practice, because I think the way that I've been gearing towards this sort of thing is my Seeds of Resilience project is split into both my sculptural practice, but also it's what I've sort of named my workshop, which I'm sort of building on. It's still in its early phases. I got to run that at Ruskin, but that's definitely something that I'm wanting to take forward, sort of getting people to engage with craft and nature as a way of sort of boosting their confidence, whether that's something that they then take forward and apply to craft, or just something that they take forward and just apply to their own personal lives afterwards. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, much like Ren, one day I'd love to teach, specifically blacksmithing. I consider myself incredibly lucky in the sense that I've had really supportive tutors and really supportive people around me, even from a young age in high school. So I left school when I was 16 with my GCSEs, school just wasn't for me. But I've been lucky to have people throughout that have really supported me and kept me going, and now I have an undergraduate degree and I'm doing a master's, and it's something that I want to be a part of that chain. I want to be a part of that sort of pushing forward, and I'd like to do it through blacksmithing. I think blacksmithing is my thing. It's what I enjoy, it's what I love, and I'd love to be able to teach that. But on a personal level, I also need my own practice. I also, as an individual, I need that to provide balance to myself. I don't think I could create a good environment to teach someone if I wasn't also sort of actively participating in the craft myself. And I think ultimately, again, examining my works and my interactive stuff, it's because I want to show people and teach people about this material, about this craft, about different things that you can do with it. For me, that's pretty high up in my list. I'm not sure how I'm going to go about doing that necessarily. I think for in all honesty, it would be something along the lines of subletting a workshop, so I could work there, and then teaching to sort of pay for the subletting of the workshop.
I think you'd both be just amazing teachers and educators in whatever shape or form that takes. You've both spoken so articulately, like whether it was at the panel discussion or like with our team and members of the public that have come in and just have kind of shared your passion so beautifully that we've all kind of been really engaged. And I don't think there's a member of the Hawkwood team that don't want to have a go at blacksmithing now, so you've done a really good job in advocating for your craft.
I'm adamant everyone should give blacksmithing a go. If there's one thing you can take away from it, is everyone should give blacksmithing a go. It's so fun to heat up a bit of metal and swing a hammer at it. You have a lot of agency and a lot of power and a lot of control over that process, and it's cathartic as well. Everyone should give it a go. Everyone, at least once.
Brilliant. And just one last sort of half question, which is, are there any questions that you wish I'd asked you or anything like that during this interview? Anything else that you wanted to discuss? Yeah.
How can people get into blacksmithing?
Oh, there you are then. Thanks, Mark. How can people get into blacksmithing?
Well, there are many ways. There are courses throughout the UK, but quite often Taster Days would be what I recommend. You could go through the Barbar Directory, so that's the British Artist Blacksmiths Association, and they'll show you a list of blacksmiths and the kind of things that they offer. And so they'll do courses or Taster Days, and then there are places throughout the country where you can do City and Guilds courses, like the one I did in Edinburgh. That's at the SRUC Oatridge campus. And then you can go on to do college level courses, also known as BTECs. Those are level 2s and level 3s. Some of the bigger known areas for those are Plumpton, Brinsbury, and Hereford. But there are other places that also do different courses. And then Hereford is the only place in the country that you can do an undergraduate degree in blacksmithing currently, as of time of recording. And it's the only place you can do a master's as well, within the UK. So it's definitely something that if you want to have a go, it is there. The structure is there, you can do it. It does take a little bit of looking, but it's worth giving a go.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Ben, anything from you?
I don't, I'm afraid.
That's great. Well, thank you both so much. We've loved having you here this week.
Thank
and
you very
I just
much.
Wish you all the very best for what comes next.
No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Stories That Matter, the Hawkwood podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, tell your friends, or sign up to our mailing list or on social media.